As we get into this thing today, I want to talk about, get some a little audience participation here. When you think of personal conflict, not necessarily, you know, church conflicts or church, I mean, and certainly persons make up churches, I get that. But just think about one person to another. What are some things that you think cause are the causes of conflict?
Expectations.
Personalities, expectations, other things? Misunderstandings, miscommunications, yeah. Anything else?
Jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah.
Selfishness.
Yeah. All good things. And you guys hit some of the things on my list here. Misunderstandings is definitely a big one, right? We're just not communicating, right? It's that sometimes it's the pink and blue thing, the differences there, but sometimes it's just doesn't matter what gender it is, we're just different. We're not understanding each other. Lack of planning. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Somebody lack of plan became your emergency, right? That caused a conflict. Yep, it happens. Different or opposing goals and agendas. You know, somebody wants to watch a romantic comedy. Somebody wants to watch a shoot 'em up. You know, that's kind of different ideas or goals there. But, okay, that's really minor. But what about if, you know, somebody wants to have kids and somebody doesn't? That's a much bigger problem, isn't it, right? So those things can cause conflicts when we have different opposing goals or agendas. Personality differences was brought up, and that's certainly an issue when sometimes, you know, it's like frickin' frack, you know? It's no matter what it is, it seems like we're at odds just because we see the world so differently kind of thing. A significant life change. Sorry, Doug. But this should be no surprise to any of us, right? If there's something like you get a new job, or if a child comes into the family, it changes things, you know, a marriage, or a death in the family, just, you know, what all kinds of significant changes, right? I remember years ago just learning about, you know, what reasons people show up on the church doorstep sometimes, you know, and those are some of, when some of those significant life changes happen, oftentimes people are attuned to spiritual things or needing God's help or seeking God or whatever and so on. But these are just some of the things you know, betrayal of trust is definitely cause of personal conflict for sure. Saying something thoughtless, right? Not thinking before speaking or considering what our words can do, right? All of those things can cause a conflict and disagreements between people. The reason I mention these things is because the passage that we're going to look at today is basically having to do with lawsuits among believers. And, you know, if there's nothing that, I mean, if it's really minor, I suppose, to say a lawsuit is a conflict, but it is a you know, the outworking of a conflict in some way. And so why don't you go ahead, if you're able to, and stand with me as we read these verses here at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that talk about this topic here. When one of us has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? So, if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is God's word. Please have a seat. So when you look at the passage, you see one main idea, basically one main principle, if we could say that, and that is this, that we should work out our disputes with other believers outside the secular courts. And that's the principle. And you know, sometimes after attempts, that's not always possible, okay? But I think what the apostle is telling us here is this is the way it should go normally. We have disputes, and we'll get into maybe what some of these particular disputes might be, just given the words that they give us here in the scripture. But, you know, we should look to, within the church, to, when we have a conflict with another believer, is to try to work that out. And towards the end of the message, I'm going to give you some principles on just generally how to work some things out. But let's just continue to kind of talk about this principle. So he gives the principle, right? I thought this was kind of interesting that in one of the commentaries I was looking at, I have to turn around to read it because it's too small on my screen, this quote from Antonin Scalia, right, who used to be Associate Supreme Court Justice. He said, I think this passage, and in brackets here is the commentator's thoughts, but he's talking about, Antonin is talking about 1 Corinthians 6, he says, has something to say about proper Christian attitude towards civil litigation. Paul's making two points. Paul says that the mediation of a mutual friend, such as the parish priest, should be sought before parties run off to the law courts. I think we are too ready today to see vindication or vengeance through adversary proceedings, rather than peace through mediation. Good Christians, just as they are to be slow to anger, should be slow to sue. That's just good. You know, I mean, he's just kind of affirming what's being said here, right? I just thought it was interesting that he said that. All right, so now, Paul, after kind of laying out just this principle, he gives in the following verses some reasons why we should try to work these things out ourselves, right, between one another. Well, one of the reasons is he gives in verses 2 through 6. So let's just take a quick look back at that in verses 2 through 6 there, where he says, "Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases?" You know, he's just kind of, it's like, I think they call this like an argument from a greater to the lesser. He's like, you know, if you guys are going to judge the world and angels, can't you figure these little trivial cases out yourselves? And he's got a point, right? he goes on to say, verse 3, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? It is to your shame." You know, he's just simply saying, you know, you guys are going to judge angels, you're going to judge the world, and I just thought it would be good for us to take a look here at some of these scriptures that mention this kind of thing. Revelation 20, verse 4. Says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there is, in some capacity, as believers, there is going to be some form of reigning and ruling that we will do at God's bidding. Take a look also here in 2 Timothy 2:11-13, just the one phrase here hints at this. It says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And just that phrase there, you know, if we endure, we will reign with him. There's also, and you could just look this one up, in Daniel 7, there's also a reference to, you know, in a vision that Daniel has about the people of God judging. And so, Paul's not making this up. God has said this. And so he's just simply saying, if in the future you're going to serve the Lord by somehow ruling and reigning and judging and whatever that might entail. We don't really know. He says, you guys ought to, this ought to be a no-brainer, basically. You know, that's just kind of his argument there. Another reason he gives as to why we ought to work this out between us, if at all possible here, is this in verses 7 and 8, we get the idea that if you take trivial cases to secular court with another believer, regardless of who wins, it's already a defeat for the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you caught that. He said, you know, he uses the word defeat. Let's take a look at verses 7 and 8 again, where he says, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded, but you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers? And so, you know, just this idea of that, it's a defeat, right? Because people are watching, right? People dial into the fact if somebody is a professing believer, right? And is taking someone to court or whatever the issue might be, right? Once they kind of sniff that out, then it's usually like, see, those Christians, they're just like everybody else. There's really no difference there, right? And so this is part of Paul's reasoning here for the principle that God's giving here. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And certainly, you know, if we can, if there is a conflict between a couple of people that are believers, if we can work that out, that's an expression of love, right? If we can resolve these things. And again, I you know, I wasn't born yesterday. I know that it's not always possible. Sometimes, you know, but as much as it depends upon you, right? The scripture says, be at peace with all men. You have to do what you can. You can't control what's happening on the other side of the equation of the conflict, can you? But you should really try to pursue peace and pursue working things out. I don't think I mentioned this, but, you know, that uses that word defrauded in that passage. So some think that, well, okay, that's usually revolving around somebody being cheated out of money or property. Typically, if you're defrauded, they're cheating you out of something. So maybe it's possible there were business dealings going on between believers, and some of those went south, or people didn't honor their agreements, or something. So that's, I mean, that's generally the concept of defrauding. But I think that we can, you know, even though we don't know exactly what was happening there, we can also look at the principle, just that idea of let's try to work out these things, you know, between one another. Or, you know, now these days, especially, and there has been for quite some time, there are Christian conciliation groups that if you agree to their terms, you know, that they will help you work things out outside of court. You know, a conciliation group, they would help you do that rather than, you know, taking it to the courts. But it's a witness, right, to others that even though we recognize, hey, we're sinners, yes, even though we're Christians, but yet we have a calling to live out that love in community. And Paul's just saying, you know, that should not be going on in the body of Christ. We should be working these things out. Now, another reason that Paul gives here is just the, you know, so the first reason is this, that argument from the greater to the lesser, that we're gonna rule and reign in the future in the coming kingdom. So we ought to be able to work these things out. I think he's also, you know, in the one verse he mentions how he's like, isn't there a wise person among you that can do this? I think that's my personal opinion. I think it's a little slam on their whole idea of wisdom and how wonderful they are as a church, and we're really wise, and we got all this cool spiritual stuff going on in our lives. And he's just like, isn't there just a wise one among you that can't figure this out? And so we have that, again, that first reasoning of why we should work these things out of the courts is this, that our future is just so much more, you know, carrying out judgments and so on in the coming kingdom. But so we ought to be able to do it here. And then just we saw that other principle, right? just that fact that other people are watching. This is it affects our witness for the Lord. It's a reflection on God and the church, right? And so here then, this last principle, in verses 9 through 11, we just get the sense here, I think, that it almost seems like a change of subject, but I think he's just simply adding another reason. He says, and which I think is here, when you don't settle these cases among yourselves, you're acting like someone who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you notice some of the things in the list there that he gives at the end of this section here? He says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. Thieves, greedy, right? Swindlers. Those are some bad business deals gone wrong, right? Okay? So I just think he's just kind of saying, you're kind of acting like you don't know the Lord. Right, and he's just pointing this out and saying, you're not in line, you're not acting like your identity, you're not living out like who you really are, because he even says there at the end of that those verses, and such were some of you, past tense. Now he's not saying that they may not struggle with those things, just as we would struggle with certain areas of our lives being in alignment with who we really are in Christ, right? But he's saying, that old way that old way of life is passing away. The new has come. We should be walking in the light, right? And he's simply saying, this behavior, these conflicts that can't seem to, that you're not working out amongst yourselves and within the church, since it's going to public court, is really you're acting like everybody else. We don't know this from this text here, but if you slip into history, you realize there's a great Greek influence on these people. The Greeks just loved to use their minds and loved to have great arguments, and some would say that every Greek was a little bit of a lawyer in them, And so this was just, you talk about our society being litigious, and lawsuits at the drop of a hat. This would have been, in a similar way, what was going on at that time in this location. Is people would just, go to court and sue for argument's sake, right? Just at the drop of a hat. And so he's just saying, that's the way the world works. That's not the way you should work, right? You're different now. You used to be that way, right? And so live like it, right? And so this is kind of the flow of thought here. He's given the main idea, the principle. You settle these things, these disagreements, outside of the courts with each other, right? And here's the reasons why. Now, take a look here at Romans 12:2, just to reinforce the idea that we shouldn't be conformed to the world, right? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, right? The world thinks, I'm going to get what's mine. You took this from me, I'm going to take you to court, right? And I'm not saying that, there shouldn't be consequences and all that. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you try to do that outside of the court of law, right? But we, our mind needs to change. I will say, since I became a believer, my views have changed on a lot of different things. A lot of different things. Just as you read the Bible, it just informs how the world really, God really wants it to be, how he wants us to live. All kinds of areas of life. But it says there, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, so there's four principles here I just want to share with you just about, this is more being proactive, right? So these are not from this text, but it's from the scriptures. All right, so, let's try to be proactive about how we should maybe try to address conflict when it comes up, because it will be, right? As soon as you put two people in a room and let them talk for a little bit, they're going to find something that they don't agree on, right? Or somebody might offend somebody else. And that's just going to happen. And so there are four things here. And by the way, I got these from a ministry that I got them from the Bible, but I got them But there's a ministry that we've used their materials before. In fact, I think we did it when we first moved in here. It was Peacemakers International. I think we had all of our small groups go through that stuff. And so these four G's just come from their alliteration of these verses we're going to use, okay? But I do want to give them credit. And I do think it's a good ministry. One is, in all things, including in our conflict, when things come up, we need to seek to glorify God, okay? That's like the banner of the Christian life. My life is to glorify God. How I live it, how I treat a conflict, how I do my work, whatever it is, right? And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says the following, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I mean, that's just a catch-all, isn't it? And so if you ever wonder what God's purpose for your life was, this is definitely the overall arching purpose. And within that, he's got all kinds of wonderful things, you know, using your giftedness and the way he's wired you to glorify him, okay? But that is your life's purpose. It's to glorify God. Even in a conflict, right? And so here's a question you can ask, right? As you're having a conflict, how can I please and honor God in this situation? That's a prayer, really, as much as it is a question, right? And certainly any time we're at odds, have a conflict with someone, we should pray about it, right? And so that's the first G, is just glorify God. The next one is get the log out of your own eye. This comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, where it says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Really, just, you know, so this idea of looking for logs is just kind of some self-examination, right? Maybe there's, you know, what's happening here is I'm contributing to the conflict. Many times conflict is not just one way. And so having that time where you can, before the Lord, just say, "God, what am I bringing to this conflict? What is it that I'm contributing to it?" Right? And that's what the whole thing about the log versus the speck is you're not going to be able to help your brother or sister with their problem if you're not dealing with your problem that's related to the conflict, right? And so, you know, there's a question here. How can I show Jesus' work in me by taking responsibility for my contribution to this conflict? It's just an application, a question applying that verse, right? And you know, this may be like, you know, the ABCs of conflict resolution, but I'll tell you what, nobody does them. I shouldn't say nobody. People often don't do them. Let me put it that way. And if we had followed these steps, that many things would be resolved early on, really, early on. All right, so there's our second G, get the log out of your own eye. Gently restore, Galatians 6:1. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Right? So the question here in application is, how can I lovingly serve others by helping them take responsibility for their own contribution to the conflict, right? So presumably when you get together, again, like I said, many times there's something that we need to own in the conflict, and that conversation might start and say, "Well, hey, you know, I know we've been at odds on this thing, and I've been thinking about it, and I see that I've not really been approaching it from the right angle, and so I'm sorry about that." And hopefully there's like some reciprocation, but if there's not, you can say, you try to restore gently, say, "You know, but when you said this or did this, that was, you sinned against me, and this is, you know, I want things to be right between us," right? And it takes humility, right? It takes a lot of humility on both sides to really resolve things. Because our flesh is defensive. Our flesh just, like, if somebody, you know, comes to you, whatever, with a conflict thing, and you just want to, oftentimes our flesh just says, "I'm going to prove myself right. I know I was in the right, no matter what." not even open to the possibility that we might have a blind spot, right, in our character or something. So gently restoring is our third G. So glorify God, get the log out, gently restore. And the last one here, go and be reconciled, which I suppose you could put 3 and 4 together here. But Matthew 5:24 talks about, you know, if you're worshiping and you realize your brother has something against you, right, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. This definitely shows us, doesn't it, that what's happening horizontally in our relationships definitely affects our vertical relationship with God. If things aren't right with somebody in the body of Christ, our walk with God is not as it should be, right? That's why he's saying, what you were going to take to the altar to worship God with, leave it there, and you go and get reconciled. Then you come back and you worship God. So I just think that usually what people just need to hear is the word go, okay? People, like when you have a conflict, just go to the other person. Just go to the other person, right? Don't tell somebody else about it. Just go to the other person. You know, after you've prayed about it, after you looked at it, examined yourself, sometimes, you know, by the way, this is not like the ultimate list of, you know, the flow chart for resolving a conflict, okay? These are just some principles here. But sometimes what's going to happen is you're going to realize, you know, this is just something I can let go, you know? Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, it's not a big deal, you know. Some things are like that, right? I just got to just let it go. Some things are not in that category, right? And you just have to pray about it and say, Lord, is this something I could just let go? Maybe it's, maybe it was a wrong, but maybe it's nothing to really get all excited about, unless maybe it keeps repeating, and then maybe, you know, obviously you need to talk about it. But just have in your mind, if you've prayed about it and it's not something you can let go, you pray and there's something that you don't need to confess to the other person, then you just need to go. Go talk about it. Go talk it out. And then if it's not able to be worked out from there, you know, Matthew 18 talks about how you can go have someone else go with you and try to help work it out, right? And so on. And but again, I think that if people just went to each other and talked about things and with humility and love, many things would get worked out. Wrongs would be righted, people would confess, you know, but it doesn't always happen that way. You know, that's what we pray for, that's what we want to see modeled, right? In the church. And so I just find that, you know, we just need good reminders of these things. These four G's, as simple as they are. Because we just sometimes don't deal with things and they fester and bitterness grows and as another passage says, it can defile other people, right? This disease of bitterness, because I'm not resolving a conflict, it's almost like it just starts to, you know, come out in other ways, right? Almost like an inner tube, right? When you try to shove it down in the water, it's got air in it. It's going to come back up somewhere else, right? As much as you try to keep pushing it back down, right? It's going to come out in some other way. But just realize, you know, after you think about these things, is that the whole thing is God wants to be glorified, right? In all of our relationships. And he's glorified when there's an offense and there's forgiveness granted and there's reconciliation. It's a model of the gospel, isn't it? Didn't we sin against God, right? And there's been a separation between us, and we don't have a relationship with him, and yet Jesus came, right, as in a sense as our mediator, right, between us and God, and made a way so we could be made right to God. It says that he died so he could bring us to God, and there would be a reconciliation, right? And so really think about that. As you know, we are reconciling with others, we're just living the gospel in a sense, right? Because we've experienced that. And again, I just want to throw in this caveat that, you know, I know things are not always this simple. Many times, you know, issues of forgiveness and things like this are not as simple as just the four G's. But I think these principles do outline our approach and what our heart ought to be. And if things are not clear to us, what happens if things don't work out as they should, then we need to seek counsel, I think, seek the scriptures, and so on, right? Again, with the end goal of trying to be reconciled to our brother or sister, right? Now, again, not everything can stay out of the courts. Some things have to be in the courts, right? Some things are crimes, right? Right? Some, you know, and so that happens, you know. That's just, can't turn a blind eye to that stuff, okay? You can't have the good old boys network, so to speak, in the church and not when crimes are being committed, okay? Does that make sense? All right. Listen, let's pray. Let's pray here. Let's ask God to help us in this area. You know, maybe as I was talking, you're thinking of someone came to mind where there's something unresolved. Maybe work it through those four G's, and maybe you're not ready to go to court with somebody, but there's an issue. There's somebody that you are withholding forgiveness from, or you just know something's not right, and let's ask for the Lord's help, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful that your word is not silent on so many relational things. Lord, help us to be a church of individuals who want you to be glorified through everything, including when we have conflict with each other. And Father, help us to see, to keep things in perspective. Paul helps us to paint that picture of, he says, listen, you know, in the end, you're gonna judge the world, you're gonna judge angels, you're gonna have these heavy responsibilities. Certainly we can resolve these things, these trivial matters compared to eternal things. And Father, help us, God, to, by your grace and by your mercy, to walk in alignment with our identity. You know, we are new creations in Jesus Christ, and that list that was given in there in verses 9 through 11, it's not an exhaustive list of sins. It's just saying, you know, if I have ongoing sin in my life and I don't care and my attitude is just I'm going to do whatever, then there's a great question as to whether I have truly inherited eternal life. Help us to walk out our faith in your power, but submitting our will to yours. And Lord, I pray if anyone in here is struggling with reconciling, that you would grant them the grace and the direction and the wisdom to do what they can on their side of this relationship to resolve it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.